Crazy. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the BD Edge Challenge call. I want to do a quick survey. I see John and Hans on here with us. Just because this is totally separate from what we're doing right now, but if you would raise your hand or make a noise or do something, if you would prefer to be in high school when you were in high school as opposed to in high school today, or would you prefer to be in high school today as when you back when you were in high school? Anybody that would prefer to be in high school today versus back when you were? All right. Hey, I'd love for you to text me a why if you feel like it. Otherwise, that's a little research. I'm speaking at baccalaureate this year, and I'm putting a little something together, and fascinating results to that. But anyway,
I close.
You guys know, pardon?
The length of the men's shorts, I think, is the problem.
Length of the men's shorts? That's what I was thinking, too. Hey, little Ricky. Well, hey, this morning we got Mark Smith with us. Mark's been with us before, and we had a postponement, and Mark jumped in there to take over for us, and I appreciated that. So I can't wait to hear what he's got to say.
Well, absolutely. I'm glad to join you guys this morning. Kevin asked me to speak yesterday, and I really didn't know what I wanted to talk about, but I realized that tomorrow is a special day, and so I want to share with you a scripture real quick from Luke 23, verses 32 through 34. We all know this passage, and we'll look at it really closely, I'm sure, around Good Friday here in a few weeks. But the scripture is really simple. It goes like this. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him, Jesus, to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. I want to try to get you to imagine the ripple effects of forgiveness. It's hard for us to imagine the ripple effects of forgiveness, God to us and us to others. Even more so, it might be hard to imagine what this world might look like without forgiveness. Without that forgiveness of God to us and us to others. I want to take you back several centuries, and I want you to imagine that you're 16 years old. You're a 16-year-old. I think everybody on this call is male. So you're a 16-year-old boy, and you're planning your yard, maybe throwing a ball or something, and all of a sudden, these raiders come in, and they snatch you and everybody that they can grab, and they take you up, and they take you by ship to a foreign land, and they enslave you. That's exactly what happened to the young man that we're talking about today. You know, tomorrow, I don't know if you know it, is March 17th, and tomorrow we celebrate the life and the ministry of St. Patrick. That story that I just told you, that was his story. When he was 16 years old, he was taken as a captive, enslaved for 6 years as a herdsman. You know, my wife and I, we're from Savannah, Georgia, where tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day, is going to be synonymous with beads, parades, green fountains, shamrocks, leprechauns, and lots of beer, okay? Think about, as Mardi Gras is to New Orleans and Mobile, Alabama, St. Patrick's Day is to Savannah, okay? That's the kind of way that they celebrate it in Savannah. But did you know that St. Patrick's Day is not just a day that we wear green, but it's a remarkable story of forgiveness and missional evangelism? Because this Patrick that I just told you his short story, he was born in 389 AD. And like I said, at 16 years old, he was snatched up, taken from his home, and enslaved for 6 years by a Druid chieftain. 6 years later, after being there, he escaped, and he tracked across the entire island of Ireland, and then he begged passage on a ship headed for the mainland. He didn't get home until 2 years later, but he finally makes it back home after this long trek at the age of 24. His captivity had such a deep impact on his faith. In fact, he came to Christ while suffering in captivity. He wasn't a Christian when he was taken, but that captivity had such a deep impact on his faith that he actually became a monk. And 2 years after getting back home, he was a monk, and he had a vision of an Irish man bringing him a letter, begging him to come and share Christ with the people of Ireland. And his family, as you can imagine, everybody was against him going back. I mean, these people had been so cruel and so mean to him and put him in chains. But he felt compelled by the gospel to forgive them and go back. And so he did. He went back and he shared faith with as many people as possible, including the man that had captured him and enslaved him for 6 years. What was the result? You know the result. And the result was that the entire island of Ireland pretty much was converted to Christianity. Okay, but there's more to it than that. I want to read a short snippet from a book called Perspectives. It says, when Patrick returned to Ireland from England, he initiated the remarkable Celtic missionary movement that would continue for centuries, which would be a source of missionary zeal and learning for the entire that entire Western world. His spiritual descendants moved from Ireland to Scotland, then to England, across the channel to the Low Countries, and finally into central Germany. They were later instrumental in the conversion of Scandinavia. They combined a deep love of learning, spiritual discipline, missionary zeal. As a result, Ireland became literate for the first time within Patrick's generation. At the great monastery at Falda, that was founded in 8th century by St. Boniface, from this tradition became the main center of learning for much of Germany. I don't know if you know the story, the history of the church, but there was some pretty significant things that happened in Germany. You may have heard of Martin Luther. He was born in 1483. He was a German monk. In 1517, he nailed the famous 95 Theses on the door at the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, officially launching the Protestant Revolution. To me, it's very interesting that birth of the Protestant Reformation in 1517 might possibly find its way back all the way to St. Patrick, who in the 400s felt compelled to forgive and go back to these cruel, cruel people that had enslaved him for so long. Guys, it's hard to know the ripple effects of forgiveness. So the question is, from me to you today, who do you need to forgive today? If Jesus could do it on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. If Patrick could do it, by forgiving the man that enslaved him for 6 years and sharing it with him and his entire people, then you can too. What ripple effects for God's kingdom might you make through forgiveness? Today, I want to urge you, go and be the edge.
That's a great word.